Hello and welcome to the Saraline Soccer Aftershocks podcast. I'm Jay Hibbs.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
And we're coming to you from Buckshaw Stadium in the press box in the little radio studio after the Earthquakes scoreless draw against the Philadelphia Union. And Rob, I will inquire, sir, what are your thoughts about this match?
Fantastic defensive effort.
That's putting things in the best possible light, isn't it?
You know, if I can name drop and use the term center line, I thought the Quakes did fantastic on their side of the center line, and things didn't really go all that well on the offensive side. And I'm going to bite my tongue on a few things, but nothing in the center of the midfield, or the attacking midfield, seemed to work tonight. Brad Ring played wonderfully, and he does tend to get up above, you know, the center circle at times. But beyond that, he's not going to orchestrate the offense. And, you know, Kari Stevenson, who I thought had a good couple of games the last week and a half, you know, did okay in this one, but really didn't do a lot to create things. And I thought at times what I saw was too much hitting the ball from trying to hit the ball from wing to wing instead of seeing what they could do in the center of the park. And just imagine if they had, say, a player like Simon Dawkins playing in that attacking midfield role, you know, how he might have been able to handle, say, linking passes together. And, you know, unfortunately, they didn't have a guy like Simon Dawkins to play the attacking midfield role tonight.
No, that's true. They didn't. And, yeah, for them to be concentrating the attack up the wings maybe is a bit of a curiosity, considering Stephen Lenhart was sitting out a yellow card suspension today, and he's their primary target forward.
Well, a big part of how you can beat Philadelphia is with creative forwards. You know, smaller guys, guys running with speed, guys running through the wall, or sorry, so through the line, instead of, you know, pumping balls in where they're just going to be cleared away. And granted, Philadelphia didn't have their top line defense out there, but strategically, that is how they play. That's how Peter Novak has this team set up. You know, it's the defensive first, you know, with Mondragon as your goalkeeper, going to command the box no problem at all. You've got to be creative to be able to get shots off around the top of the 18, you know, just inside that 18-yard mark. And the Quakes had one shot on goal. Stats don't lie.
That's
one
not
shot
enough.
On goal.
Yeah, stats, and as Shakira reminds us, hips don't lie either. Which is not to say that I don't lie. I would never make such a...
It's all objective.
Well, yeah, that's true, I suppose.
You know, and so,
very philosophical here.
Very philosophical. So delved into a different podcasting territory. Yes. But back on the game.
Yes.
Again, I don't have much else to say about the offense. I mean, it could be negative. I could harp on different things. You know, I could possibly say that I thought Ryan Johnson didn't have all that great of a game, and that, you know, he had a lot of turnovers, quite a few fouls committed. But I don't want to talk about that. You know, I could talk about how, you know, just, you know, ball after ball was just dumped into the center, and I don't think Wando had a single header that he won. You know, and you know, but I don't want to talk about that. You know, those things don't really interest me. You know. I don't think they interest Quakes fans at this point. You know, they know there's some deficiencies going on there, and that's something that, as a team, at least on the offensive side of the ball, they've got to figure that stuff out. You know, the coaches can only do so much. You know, the players have to, you know, do their part as well. It takes coaching to get them and set up in the right, you know, formation, in the right pairings, etc. You know, but the players have to deliver as well. And we've seen these guys deliver in the past. You know, it's not like, you know, Wando hasn't scored a goal this season.
Right.
You know, he just hasn't done a lot in these last 3 weeks. You know, we've seen Simon Dawkins do very well. He suddenly seems to have kind of, you know, taken the foot off the gas or something. He just didn't look... He wasn't the aggressor at all tonight. And he was just eaten alive as a forward in that defensive line. You know.
That's true. And that is a little unexpected because... you know, both of them are usually very good at movement off the ball and some of the things which, I mean, it's going to be a lot easier to beat, say, Danny Califf for speed or quickness than it is in the air.
Right.
And so you would have expected them to maybe, you know, have a little bit better time against that Philadelphia defense.
Well, but you hit it.
The service was not real... Solid.
Without Lenhart in there, a true target forward, That it's sort of beating your head against the wall to consistently try to pump the ball into the 18 and know you're really not going to get anything out of it. The defense for Philadelphia, they lap that stuff up. They're happy to let you bang the ball in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to just dwell on that again. I thought defensively,
yeah,
the team was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, no, they definitely were, because there were a lot of dangerous opportunities where Philadelphia looked to be getting shots off, and those shots never got all the way to John Bush. He never had to deal with them because they were getting charged down or blocked or whatever by the team defending.
Really. We had Jason Hernandez, I think, 3 different sliding saves. Brad Ring had a couple. I mean, that's 5 right there. These are good shots these guys are throwing themselves in front of. Bobby Berling wasn't afraid to make a foul when he needed to. It was a dangerous free kick afterwards, but that was a place where he knew he had to make a play, so that a shot couldn't be taken at the top of the 18 there.
Yeah.
The defensive line did fantastic. They ceded some space on the wing on the fast break, which is textbook. You don't need to worry about the wing as much, but they managed the center of the field quite nicely. And it was just, from a defender's point of view, if I was one of those defenders, I'd want to see my offensive teammates do something, with the ball. I'm doing my job in the back.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to do something up forward. So, they played the full 90 plus minutes, just fantastic in the back. And on the whole of it, Philly may have deserved a goal or two if not for that strong effort that the defense put in. They definitely earned their half of the shutout.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tonight, and it was great to see. Not just center defense. I want to bring up Brad Ring. He's probably my player of the match.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't expect offensive, skill and pass work out of him. I mean, that was the job of Kari Stevenson to be the link-up man.
Right.
So there were a couple times I know Brad had a couple of giveaways, which you would hope would be unavoidable, but that's not his game. But when he had to be strong on defense, when he had to challenge people, especially in the first half when there weren't many fouls called.
Mm-hmm.
He was the strong, he was the aggressor in 50-50 balls and doing the job he needed to do. And I thought Brad did a fantastic job tonight.
Yeah. Well, to talk about some of the other positives, I did think the team looked a lot more composed and dangerous going forward, particularly in the first half. The second half, not so much. And especially the 20 minutes... say the last 20 minutes of the match, I actually mentioned this on Twitter that, if you just tuned in, the Quakes are not playing down a man. It just seems that way. But that first half, the ball movement was good, and they were looking a lot sharper on the ball and more dangerous than they did against Chivas. Now, granted, that was...
it wasn't very hard.
That is kind of a scraping the bottom of the barrel. But at least we didn't see a repeat of that. We saw them react to that and look more dangerous going forward. So
yep. And then last note from me and a player I did have a chance to talk to after the game. We saw the debut of Rafael Baca tonight.
That's right.
After his long process of finally getting the right paperwork so that he could play, he signed on Friday officially, and he's in the 18 Saturday, gets a 10-minute cameo at the end there. And, having watched him play a lot in the reserve league games and the preseason games, I mean, that's not full speed, Baca yet. We haven't seen, the speed he has, at his best, and he'd mentioned that after the game as well. But, he had a couple of nice touches out there. It gives you another element of play, that they don't necessarily have on that wing. Someone who's going to look to make some of those link-up passes. And, you mentioned how he spent the last month in Mexico training with different teams down there.
Right. And, I think Atlas and...
Veracruz, I think, was one of the teams.
Yeah.
They don't. It's not all about run and gun down there. But it's very much that quick passing and moving, passing, moving, passing, moving.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's not his game totally, but that's a good part of his game. It's building up the speed and building up the pace that can then make that give and go, those passes, much more effective.
Right.
Something we're not necessarily seeing at a lot of the Quakes right now, which is letting defenders just sit and wait. now. Yeah. You know, yeah. A player like that, or any of the players, and we've seen this in the past work sometimes when Ramiro Corrales does this on a very good basis. Simon Dawkins, when he was in the beginning of the season in that attacking midfielder role, was able to do these kind of things. You know, the give-and-go passing that is missing right now to keep center midfielders on the other team honest, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It creates a little more space, and that's something that, you know, it's fun to talk to Baca about that and, you know, flavor the moment, but still, you know, nice to be for the kid.
Yeah, no, that's true. He acquitted himself nicely. His first run down the left wing, I think everybody in the press box who hadn't seen him sort of went, ooh, he's fast.
Yeah. Well, and he's faster. I mean, and I talked to him about that exact run because I've seen him play some games and where he can put everything together. You know, that was a nice little sprint, you know, but he knows he's probably still a week or a week and a half away from really getting back to top speed again. So a very impressive run to chase down that ball, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe in 2 weeks from now he can get to the end line before the ball goes out of bounds. Mm-hmm. And that's something he said as well that he's looking forward to doing.
Excellent.
And then one of our interviews, obviously, is with Coach Frank Gallup, his post-game press conference. He mm-hmm. had some extra time to prepare for the press conference tonight, being ejected from the game, if you will.
That's right, he did.
He'll talk more about that ejection in the press conference. You know, just kind of summarize, it was, he said a choice phrase to the referee, and that's mm-hmm. all it took. And he was out of there.
I see. Did it involve the referees, say, family lineage or anything like that? Or did he go into those sorts of specifics?
No, it was a very simple playground comment, if you will, that Frank was a bit contrite and apologetic about having said. Mm. But, you know, he said it, and the referee heard him, and the referee didn't appreciate the reference, if you will. So
I see. So that puts him off the bench for next week too, then, I would
assume. He has to. He'll be off the bench for the game away. We'll see who mans the bench. Probably Mark Watson, who manned the bench for the last 10 minutes or so tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure Frank will travel. He'll probably just watch from the press box.
Yeah, they can still be in the stadium.
They always do.
They can be in the locker room. They can do everything but basically sit on the bench.
Yeah, they just can't be on the touchline. So. All right, well, why don't we start with his post-game press conference then? This is Earthquakes head coach Frank Yale.
Why don't we just start, instead of your ejection, let's start with the overall play of the team and the lack of goals, 4 out of 5 games.
I thought it was a lot better performance than Chivas. It was similar, to the last two home games, but I thought at times we played okay, but then we couldn't sustain it. So, you know, for whatever reason, teams go through these type things, and you know, it's just one of those things that we talk about it, we try to give confidence to the players, they try to get confidence in themselves. It just comes with you playing games and getting results and feeling good about yourself as a group. But we had a clean sheet tonight, which is obviously a plus. Not scoring isn't good. Positives, John Bush played well. I thought Bobby Burling and Jason did well at the back, you know. And I think we're just kind of misfiring a little bit, obviously, right now. Not just in front of goal, because we're not really getting to the front of the goal that much. You know, New York, we scored a couple for sure, but we've played well enough to score goals in the last few games. Thought we should have scored against LA. We got 2 against New York. So the creation of chances, I still think, is there, but the finishing is maybe not quite there.
You had one shot on goal tonight. I think it was in the 12th minute. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say anything at halftime? Try to compress? Is there anything you guys can do at this point?
Well, not much I can do other than encourage and try to give them, you know, thoughts of how to go about things, because, you know, as a coach, you're helpless to, you can't go out there and do it yourself. So I've picked the players, obviously it's my decision, but they're the same players that played great a number of games for us. So, you know, it's easy criticizing after. I never do that. I work on the next game, and I'm not worried about us not scoring. I'm just going to work on trying to get a win for next game.
Can you speak about Rafael
Baca's
debut today?
Yeah, it was good. He had a really good preseason with us. we've been obviously trying to sign him for a number of months, but finally got the clearance, and very good to have him.
And it's sort of a rare occasion to see a Frank Gallup get ejected from a game. Talk about the frustration you had.
I think it was frustration, and you know, I don't want to go into it too much, but just frustrating. And it's not just with the officiating. It was just, you know, it was a frustrating night, and you know, sometimes it all comes out in one outburst. And I'd like to apologise to the referee. I'm gonna have to see him, but you know, I didn't mean to say what I've said, but. I don't know. I thought it was a tough one.
It wasn't like a baseball manager trying to inspire the team or fire up the team?
No. I got to pay a fine. It doesn't get paid for me. So, no, it's not. No, you know, you say what you say, you regret reacting, but I kind of, you know, thought it was enough, and enough was enough, and I told them what I thought, but anyway, we'll deal with that.
Is there a reason Joey Gibson wasn't on the official team sheet?
No, team selection. I thought, you know, he played 45 minutes in the Chivas on Wednesday. No, not at all.
Transfer window opens up on Friday. Do you have anybody on the shopping list?
We've got a few irons in the fire, as every team does, I would think. So we're just going to make sure that we, you know, follow right down the path. And a lot of times you go to some blind alleys, which is frustrating. We feel that me and John are meeting on Monday to really go over the whole picture of what we have, the salary cap, the players we want to make sure that we keep, players that we feel we maybe can move on, and all those things. So, and obviously, it's not in the. We didn't lose tonight, and it's not because of what we've done in the last two games. But, you know, it's nice to have a fresh attempt to make the team better. And it's good to have a window, and it's a chance to sign some players and try and freshen the lineup and the squad up.
So there's no particular need you're looking to fill there?
Well, no, I think, you know, we're talking about goal scoring, but I mean, you know, Lenhart's got six, Wanda's got six, not lately, but, you know, and Simon's got four. So I think if the team's playing well, we're fine. You know, if the team's struggling to create chances, then maybe not. But we're looking for some, I think but I've said it before, we're looking for wide players, you know, to get some pace and some ability. So maybe it's a spot we look at. Maybe an extra defender, because, you know, we traded Brandon and Bobby and Jerry fine tonight, but, you know, they're one nick away from maybe being a little bit, not light, but, you know, it could be a problem area.
Related to that, with the players you have, is that the trouble maybe that's coming against teams that are packing it in defensively like this? Philly obviously likes to play very deep defensively.
Yeah. Well, we tend to struggle against, you know, LA did the same because of the 10-man. They set back. You know, I think New York, even second half, did the same. And until we scored on them, then they come out and attack. But you know, we got to figure it out. I mean, you know, it seems that we've not quite figured out how to sort of play as a unit to break any team down. You know, whether they sit back, whether they come at us, we've not really kind of got on the same page with that. You know, I've juggled the lineup, but, you know, again, you know, with absences from the team, it kind of hurts us. No excuses, you know. But I think the guys that have come in have done great, but, you know, I'd like to have a settled side by now. You know, you usually use 14 players or so, but you know, no Lenny tonight. You know, Combi's out. You know, Ike's unavailable still. So there's a few guys that we would like to have healthy or available, but we soldier on. We'll be fine, I'm sure.
You know, Simon seemed to struggle again tonight with his touch. He wasn't as involved as we've seen earlier in the early part of the season. Mm-hmm. Is this him still coming back from that surgery?
No, I think the last two games he's not been himself. But, you know, you watch the games, you know, like I do, and you can't make players play well. You know, they've got to feel. Wando's not done particularly well since he got back. But Wando's got the golden boot last year, and he scored six already. So at some point, he's going to come good, and we're going to be fine, you know, with him playing well. Simon's the same. Lenhart's the same. Their quality is just getting them back into form. And I think the team brings them back in a little bit. So, you know, I think, to be honest, we've been a little bit unlucky in the last few games and not get something. Tonight was, I thought they were unlucky, to be honest. Had some good chances to score. But I thought LA, we should have got something out of that game more than the draw. But we didn't. And New York being up 5 minutes left, it feels like a loss when you come off there. So I think maybe that's weighing on the guy's shoulders a little bit.
Wando, he didn't have any shots tonight, and I don't have the stats with me, but he's not. It doesn't seem like he's been getting a lot of shots. Is that?
It's team play, because he's not a creator of shots. He's a finisher of chances, so we have to create the chances for him to finish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not a dribbler and is going to beat five guys and take a shot. He gets on the end of stuff and where it's dangerous. But he's only been back for 3 games, I think. So, I think Landon, maybe the 2 games I saw him weren't himself. Tonight he scored, so, we're hoping that Wando comes back into form for next weekend.
So you'd say it's more of an issue with service than him not getting in?
Yeah, I think there's a team with not created as many chances for him to bury one. But he hit the post against New York, and, sometimes I would think normally they fly in for him.
Next up, Chris Wondolowski.
Assessment. I feel that we have the talent out here there to create chances. We haven't been doing that. I feel like times we play well and then just kind of lack that final pass or final touch. I really do feel it's just one of those things where you get one and then it just kind of opens it up. And if we can get another one, credit to our defense for keeping us in this game and keeping that zero up there. That's huge. It's frustrating just to only come away with the point, but at least we came away with the point.
Well, your defense as well. Didn't that thing go off your knee?
No. Oh, yeah. I think Bush probably would have had that cover. It probably did him more harm than good, but I'm just glad it didn't go in. So.
Obviously this was better than Wednesday night, where just one of those fall-apart games that you had, whatever.
Right.
So you came back to a spirited play, but it seems like you're just not sustaining throughout the field and throughout the 90 minutes. Is there any explanation or anything you guys can do, considering the talent you have?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I feel if we do that, then we'd be right up there. And I feel that's the downfall to any team. That's any team that's probably not in first place, probably doesn't play a full 90 minutes. And I feel at times we play well, but we got to sustain that throughout the 90 minutes and put away chances when we can and create enough chances where we can put it away.
It seems like guys weren't looking for you with the ball so much as maybe before you departed for Gold Cup. Have they just kind of forgotten that, you're out there? And
No. I mean, they definitely know I'm there. They do a good job. And it's just one of those things. I feel getting back to the same page, just getting together. And I feel we're just kind of missing that final ball. I know myself, I need to do a better job of finding space. I haven't been doing that. Need to work harder out there. I need to fight. And if I battle and scrap for a couple of those second balls, then that opens up and creates some more space. And so it's on me.
Chris, how can you find more space? Like, when I watch you, it seems like there's always somebody on you, or people are always converging on you. What can you realistically do?
It's setting up the defender. It's not, you can't just react. You have to anticipate. You have to, set him up where you want him to go. And so I need to do a better job of that. I need to, start off my run and, make him go where I want him to go. And I haven't been doing a good job of that. And I need to continue to work on that.
Apologies if you were asked this already, but how difficult was it without kind of Lenhardt out there kind of knocking balls down for you and for the team?
I feel that anytime you're without Lenny, that's a huge, you're missing a big part of this team. And he's been playing really well. He's a great player. And we for sure missed him. He was battling, and just his attitude, and it's contagious. You want to go out there, and you want to fight and battle even harder. I thought Simon did a great job. I thought, our offense still capable of creating more opportunities than we did, and I was still capable of doing more than I did also. My mom once told me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so I'm going to stick with that. Thank you.
Thanks.
We also talked to player making his Earthquakes debut, Rafael Vaca.
a major debut tonight.
Yeah, it felt really good. After a while to be out there in front of the crowd. And it felt good to come in and feel welcome with all the support. And like I said, now it's time to get back to work and get game fit again and just be ready.
It was the first game for a lot of fans seeing you out there playing.
Right.
You know, what did they see positively? What are the things that they should look forward to?
I think the work rate. I know it was a few minutes, but I think I left everything out there for the 10 minutes that I was out there, and then also the attack. I'm a player that likes to attack, that likes to go at defenders. So hopefully I see myself creating more opportunities to go for the forwards, for the midfielders, and just be dangerous on the ball.
Yeah, from your vantage point on the bench, you know, what did you see before you entered the game that affected how you played?
I felt that we were creating a lot of chances. I think at the same time, I think we work hard as a group. Just a little bit of we have lapses where we touch the ball on the ground. We have lapses where we kick the ball. I think just a matter of fact of being on the same pitch, and I think we're going to be good.
You didn't know you were going to start until you were called to do... I mean, not start, but coming to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played the game in a while. I think it's been over like a month and a half. So I know I was in game fit. I know I'm not able to go 90 minutes. So just little by little, I knew I was probably going to get some minutes. And I did, so I felt good.
It's kind of been a rotating cast on the wings. Do you think you can come in and make a starting spot your own at some point this season?
I think, yeah. I think, like I said, I've been out for a while, but it's time to get back to work, get back game fit, and hopefully be out there helping out the team.
And finally, we spoke with Philadelphia Union head coach Peter Novak.
Given all the changes that you made tonight and creating Jordan Harvey in the middle of the week, what it means to get a scoreless draw tonight?
Well, I think from the defensive standpoint, we play a pretty good game. We didn't allow San Jose to counter. We stayed pretty good with Danny Califf and then Stefani Migliorenzi. You know, I think we did already that in the preseason, so we were sure that Stefani can do the job with his calmness and, you know, his experience as well. So there's another option for us defensively. I think Gabriel Farfán as a left back, you know, did pretty good, so replace Jordan, you know, in the long run. Of course, we're going to look how we can do better, but I think as of now, we do have options and a good option. So, you know, he's still young, he's still getting experience, but, you know, for the first game in this position for 90 minutes, I think he did all right. Defensively, you know, with the chances, we need to do better, much better. I think for the first time when, you know, we got lucky a little bit in DC, but this game we're supposed to win, and, you know, by a couple of goals. But, you know, it's those games last year we lost. I think this is, you know, the progress, and we're still getting the points on the road, which is important as well.
So what you saw out there, was that what you were trying to accomplish? How were you looking to get at them, and how happy are you with how your team performed?
I think the first half I wasn't really happy. I think there wasn't we have a couple of good ball movements, but there was the final pass didn't come, or if it came then it was too late. I think our wings were pretty inactive with Justin and then Keon Daniel. I think we need to do better with that. And second half we start better, and Justin B was more active. We make a substitution to push the game a little bit to the end with Michael Farfán's speed, and I think that worked pretty good for us. So we got better, but as I said, with the converting chances, then you know, this is important stuff. When you play away and you score a goal, that you know, you have a good chance to win the game with our defensive work. So yeah, we need Carlos Ruiz to be there when he needs to be. And this game shows significant that, you know, in DC he was there, and today we have a couple of good chances, and we're missing pretty much.
What were the decisions given the weekend off?
The decision has been made way before the Gold Cup. I think there was the time for him to get some rest. You know, the preparation for the Gold Cup, there was different stuff when you play the league games. Then you go in the Gold Cup, so it's like you start the preseason again. So, you know, and he have a very good Gold Cup. I think, you know, he carried his team on his shoulders. So, you know, he mentally and physically, he needs some rest. Even he scored the last two goals for us, very important goals, but we thought that, you know, he needs some rest. So Carlos Valdez was the scratch last minute, even before we traveled, an hour or 2 hours before we traveled to San Jose, because he was sick, so we couldn't do anything about that, and there was no time for him to recover. The rest, I think, you know, as I said, we're moving forward. The points on the road are always good. We wish to have three, but that's just soccer.
What did you want Nakazawa to do there in the middle with Brian Carroll? What was his?
I think Naka did good, and he's in a good form right now. And you know, we changed a little bit the lineups back and forth, so we're gonna give him some rest because he started the season very well, and you know, at some point he you can see he was tired, so he's back on his own, and I think still I try to encourage him to go a little bit more forward and get some chances and take the shots from the distance, just not to be the outlet for Brian Carroll, and just do the all defensive work. But I think two of them worked very hard today, and then with a little luck, Naka would score the goal from the free kick. So I think he did very well today.
That's his job, is to be the more active role. And Carroll, you want to sit a little deeper sometimes?
He played like that, which at UCLA.
Right.
So
I saw him play UCLA,
exactly. So you try to give him a little bit more. Like, don't be afraid to go forward. You still have ability and capacity to go back and cover for all this defensive work. But you gotta, we need to wish more. We want more, and that's the part that I try to encourage him and talk to him and give him some, freedom as well.
He's played inside and outside with Keon Daniel now being winger. Do you think it's better for Kyle to be in the middle?
Yeah, I think with the flexibility and then the fluid system, like they changing position, because sometimes Justin is moving inside, sometimes it's Keon moving inside. So I think from the flexibility is good, and we keep this working like that, and also open our wings as a fullbacks going forward. So I think they both have ability to keep the ball and move the ball through the lines, through the zones. From our midfield to our forwards. So, it's still a work in progress. It's still a very inexperienced team and very young team, and sometimes they go through the motions. And you can see today, in the certain moments when you need experience, you need a little calmness, then they try to do too much too early. So, but I think it was, coming here and then play the game like that, and, after 90 minutes, not the first half, but the 90 minutes, we're happy to get the point. And then, I'm looking forward to New England, because that's going to be a very important game.
Can you comment on the defensive line and Emil Granzi there?
Oh, Stefani did very well. He's such an experienced guy. And you can see even in the, we talked about Barcelona and all this stuff and the big teams, and they're moving the defensive midfielders sometimes in the Champions League semi-final. They moved the guy, Pedro, who played in the midfield, they moved him to, or what was that guy, the big one. They moved him as the wheel was injured. And as I said, we tried that because we thought then Carlos Valdez would be in Copa America, so we need to have some replacements. And Juan Diego Gonzalez is still there, but we thought then with Stefani knowing the link, knowing the players, he would do okay. And I think he had a very good game today.
So those are the interview packages that we have here today. I will mention that I also spoke to Earthquakes head trainer Bruce Morgan, and he mentioned that Steven Betashur is progressing nicely. He can he basically strained one of the muscles in the lateral, essentially the side of his calf.
His leg.
Yes, his lower leg.
A lower leg
below
injury.
The knee. One of the muscles that connects to the foot. But anyway, he can walk on his heels, he can walk on his toes, and he can karaoke, which is sort of a... I believe it's also known as the grapevine in some certain
can he
circles. I expect he would be able to do-si-do, yes. So, but Bruce said that he hoped to be able to make him available next Saturday.
Okay. So good.
That's that's your Earthquakes injury update.
Very good. I thought Chris Leach did a nice job in his stead today, so you know Stephen can get healthy. They don't need to push him into the lineup anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is. It is. I do enjoy watching Chris out there on the wing, kind of serving balls into the middle, and he actually had a nice overlapping run at one point today too.
Yeah, he did fine. There was just not a lot of people to hit the ball to. So.
Yes, that's true. Well, we already talked about that.
Yes, so. Yes. What's next, Jay?
Well, before we get to that, I just wanted to give a shout-out to anyone who is following me on Twitter for the match. As you will know, if you've been paying attention to my little 140-character missives, starting with the Chivas-USA match on Wednesday, I essentially observed that... the Quakes' performance in the first half of that match was inducive of existential despair. Mm. And so tonight on Twitter, I was illustrating many of my tweets with quotes from noted French existential philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. And anyway, that was...
That's riveting, Jay.
Yes, well, it was really quite entertaining. So I was told by many people on Twitter, but... So I just want to say that, you know, a scoreless draw is not going to lift the existential despair. I think the only cure for existential despair in this particular case is going to be the scoring of goals and the earning of 3 points. So let's hope that that happens soon because there's a relatively short list of philosophers that I'm familiar enough with to... continue this particular motif in my tweets for very long.
You might have some more reading in your future to be prepared for the next home game.
Yes, I think I've already exhausted all the Sartre that I know and all that I was able to look up online. So next week, maybe Nietzsche. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll have to see.
That could be fun. Well, I mean, you mentioned scoring goals. I mean, we have a Tuesday night match coming up.
That's right.
The Earthquakes are hosting West Bromwich Albion, which... Yes, it's an exhibition, which you never know what's going to happen out there, but you're going to see a lot of different guys take the field.
That's a very good point, and that's this coming Tuesday here at Buckshaw.
Tuesday night at Buckshaw Stadium, and then the next chance to earn 3 points will be on the road at Columbus Crew Stadium.
That's right. It'll be a sort of return for Steve Lenhart, who played many years in Columbus. And also returned to the lineup after serving his yellow card suspension. So.
Yes, he was out in the stands tonight, actually. He was sitting a couple of rows in front of me. And what was funny, I think he was trying to be incognito. He had a hat on and a hood on.
Yeah.
He's sitting next to his brother, who has the same curly locks of hair. And most people thought, is that Stephen Lenhart? And then, oh, wait, that's Stephen Lenhart's brother. He said, that's Stephen Lenhart. So the disguise only worked so much. It was an interesting idea, and the execution failed just a bit there. So.
Yeah, perhaps Stephen should have gone with the hood and let his brother wear the hat.
Yeah, that would have been a nice way to do it. But it was good to see the guys out there. He had his family out there today and seemed to be enjoying the match, at least the atmosphere. And we... didn't bother him. Only, you know, I think I only saw two people ask for autographs, which was nice, and he got to sit there in peace and do his thing. So
that is nice.
Good to see Steven back. He'll be available for that game on Saturday. He had a very strong performance against the Crew here at Buckshaw earlier in the season. It'd be nice to see if he can match that intensity and energy, and maybe that's what the Quakes will need. That somebody up front who's taking charge again, and Lenhart has shown when he will do that, when he stays involved, stays on his feet, stays active, that good things typically happen for the offense.
Yes, exactly. So, well, we do have those two matches then to look forward to. To recap again, West Brom here on Tuesday night and Columbus in Columbus at Columbus Crew Stadium on Saturday.
And then a home game against Vancouver on Wednesday, July 20th, I believe. So.
Well, now you're just showing off.
That's off the top of my head.
Yeah. So check your local listings and make sure that...
Jay, there's also an MLS Cup final being held at the Home Depot Center in the third weekend of November.
That's right, just before Thanksgiving.
Very good. I'll be there.
I will be there, too, actually.
Excellent action. I hope, hopefully we'll see some friends down there. So.
That's right. I hear that a certain Mr. Bruce McGuire is already planning the Friday night party.
Excellent.
Yes. So. Okay, now we're bragging, so we'll just stop with that. Thanks again for listening. You can, of course, catch Rob's training report on Centerline, and we'll have some sort of coverage of the West Brom match.
We'll also have a new Quakes cast coming out this week, so we'll make sure to post the links on Centerline Soccer as well.
And I don't know which of the Quakes broke a limb and would require a cast.
Oh, well, that was your injury report. So.
Oh, okay, that's a good
soft point. Cast.
Yes. Oh, okay, very good.
Quake soft cast.
Very good. Well, seeing as how we are just really sinking rather quickly now, taking on water, I will take the opportunity to sign off. I'm Jay Hibbs.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
And thanks for listening and not being too utterly disgusted with our humor.
Oui, oui.
Au revoir.